comes and makes a request, it is difficult to turn down such requests. So when Papa met me this morning and said, Chaplain, our song is six stanza, allow us sing the six stanzas. I said, Papa, as your Lordship pleases. And that song was wonderful. Put your hand together for them. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I have a couple of things to handle this morning before I preach, and I will run through them as quickly as possible. First, on Thursday, somebody say Thursday. I didn't hear you. Good. We are all gathering where? Side 3. For what? Valedictory lecture. And what is the time? Now let me emphasize this. This week is going to be a very busy week for us. Even though I'm going on leave, I will have to shuttle and ensure that I am around to be part of some of these key events that are upcoming. On Thursday is our fasting, congregational fasting and prayer meeting. And usually 7 to 8 a.m. we shall be here. As soon as we close from here, we go home, tidy up, do one or two things we need to do. And by 10:30, somebody say 10:30. I didn't hear you say it very well. All of us will be at the 750-seater lecture theater, or what they call it, hall in Campus 3. Now, I want to emphasize this. If you prepare to deliver a very good lecture, and then you get there and you do not see the congregation, the aim is almost defeated. The first congregant that we gather for that program is our Savior's Chapel. Just like my CA said, we have to be there to give the necessary support and encouragement to our mother on that day. It is a valedictory lecture. After that, she is not going to do any other formal lecture in the university again, in a congregation platform. So I want to appeal to us, make all of us try well, well. Didier, go give moral support to our mother. The topic that was going to, the lecture is based on, I tried to read it when they were displaying the card. I was almost biting my tongue. I said, these English people. So let's go there that day and receive a dose of English so that she will make explicit what God has laid in her heart to present to us. You cannot afford to miss it. Once again, I appeal to us. Let's be there by 10:30 to encourage our mother, to support her, and to tell her well done for faithfully serving the university community for this number of years. Also, another important program will be coming up on Friday, the day following that day. We'll be going to Kokori for that funeral service of Brother Akateme's mother. But before we will go to Kokori, there is a crucial program that all of us have to attend. Sometime early July, the Lord laid a burden in my heart about this university community. Especially when I began to reflect on the spate of death that were occurring from Asaba. The deputy provost, the provost died. Several other professors, several lecturers, just like that. And it became a huge concern to me. And I wrote to the vice chancellor, requesting that he should give consideration or give a thought to the need to have a solemn assembly where we all have to call on God and pray together as a community. And when I wrote to him, he replied me that he would prefer that the three chaplains in campus, the Reverend Father in charge of the Catholic chapel and the Anglican priest in charge of the Anglican church in Side 3, that we should meet and plan. We have been working on this. Having got to a stage in our planning, we wrote back to the VC, and the VC graciously approved that on Friday the 8th of October, between 10 a.m. and 12 noon, we shall all gather at the Convocation Arena to pray unto the Lord and rededicate the university into the hand of God. Ask God to preserve and protect his people. So please, your chaplain is the one who initiated the move. The other two chaplains key in, and all of us have been planning. We incorporated several other persons as recommended. We had our meeting. The plan has reached advanced stage. It's just this Friday. So I want to appeal to us. It won't be right. It will not be good. It will not be normal that your chaplain is anchoring the program and you will not be there to give me the push. If I look around, I should be able to see my members that they are there in their number. I mean, that's not bad. I'm not hearing your voice again. We don't like something like that. Is it good that we pray for this university community? So please, I implore every one of us, before 10 a.m., the program will start 10 on the dot, as directed by the Vice Chancellor. But 9:30, I expect all of us to be there at the Convocation Arena in Site 3. The Lord will visit us and he will hear our cry. The committee has also said that my choristers should nominate or put together 15 choristers from our Savior's Chapel. The Catholic Chapel will get 15 choristers. The Anglican Chapel in Site 3 will also get 15 choristers together. All of you will form the combined choir and you will be in your room as you are now for that event. And we will link up with the choristers of the two other chapels and plan a day that you need to meet and rehearse some of the songs we are going to sing together in that program. And then our ushers unit or ushering unit, Mommy Akiri, my president, it is requested that you also put together 5 ushers who will work with us in that venue that day. So please, and all our instrumentalists, Brother Omako, you will be on duty. Brother Rainbow International Nigeria Limited, all of you, please get set. We are not hiring instrumentalists from another place. The instrumentalists and organists from the 3 chapel will meet together, synergize, and plan and be involved actively in this project. It's very important. If the Vice Chancellor has confidence in us that we can run with it, you cannot afford to fall my hand. So I plead with you, let us harness all the resources at our disposal to ensure that that service succeeds. Once again, the date is Friday, the 8th of October. 10 on the dot, the program will kickstart. And it's going to last for just 2 hours, from 10 to 12. So please, let's bear this in mind and ensure that we attend in our number. Let me specially welcome Evangelist and Mrs. Edafioro. Thank you for being in church today. I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God specially for the strong faith that you have in this God you serve. Some other persons will still sit at home and be mourning by now. You took up the courage and said, today you are coming to church to give thanks to God. It is rare, but I know the Lord will answer you. He will give you reasons for which whatever may have happened will become a testimony in no distant future. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank God for the courage. I thank God for the strong will and faith that you have in your God. He will prove himself in your life. Once again, you are welcome. God bless you. At the appropriate time, we'll call you forward for that outing service. And let me conclude this by appreciating Brother Austin Okogu and his wife. You see, it is not when people do not do well that I always blame. When you do well, I should also encourage and appreciate you. You came to church early enough, even before the commencement of the service. You brought baby to church early enough. I salute you, I congratulate you. This is the spirit and that is what I want. And whenever we are bringing our babies to God, we should not bring the child late to church. I commend you. God bless you. At the appropriate time, we shall call for the dedication of the child. Now it's time for me to preach. Shall we all rise on our feet as we read God's word? Media, are you going to project my text now? John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9. I didn't call for offering. I said my text. Thank you. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market. Give me New King James Version, please. New King James Version. Thank you. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gates a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever steps in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was a Sabbath. Father, I lay my feeble hands in yours for strength. When you send one on errand, you go with him. You laid this in my heart to share with your people. I stand on this exalted altar, asking, O God, that you will cause me to decrease and you will increase. Speak expressly in the language your people will understand. Let the very reason for which you have sent this message be accomplished. Take over these lips of clay. Honor yourself through it thereof. And let your blessings be released in the course of this service. Glorify yourself, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Please have your seat. When God shows up. That's my topic. When God shows up. Brother Ben, can you give me a little more volume, please? In life, there are situations that look complex and hopeless. On the 1st of October, when we gathered here for our covenant prayers to herald the new month, I did preach on what I call hope in the midst of hopelessness. I think there's another mic that is on. Hope in the midst of hopelessness. And let me continue on that to say that in life, there are situations that look hopeless and helpless. A time comes in life when we believe that what we are trusting God for, what we are looking for, is no longer accessible, or it might not be possible for us to have access to them. And what do? We give up. We surrender to faith. We say, or conclude, maybe this is how God wants it. Often we see men and women who accept the odd of life as the will of God. Brothers and sisters, scripture is also replete with such scenario as well. And one of such cases is what we are considering this morning. In the passage we read, John chapter 5, beginning from verse 2, it's a familiar story of what happened at the sheep gates. Now, when you go to Jerusalem, for those of us who have been privileged to visit the Holy Land, to enter the new old Jerusalem, there are 8 gates that leads into the old city of Jerusalem. Among these 8 gates, there are 5 gates that are very popular. The Jaffa Gate, the Damascus Gate, the Lion's Gate, the Zion Gate, and the Sheep Gate. Now, of the 8 gates, 7 are still open till today. But the 8th gate is closed and sealed. And we are told that the Jews believe that on the day Jesus is going to return, the gate that is sealed is where he will pass to enter into Jerusalem again. And so you know what happened? The Muslims decided to go and establish their burial ground in front of that gate, so that when Jesus is coming, all the Muslims that have died will be the first to resurrect. But that's not where I'm going today. What makes the sheep gate, one of the 8 gates, very popular is the fact that that gate is the gate where they take sheep through to enter into the temple for slaughtering or for sacrifice. And now, when the sheep are led through that gate, those who are trained to examine the animal, whether they are qualified for sacrifice or not, stays at that sheep gate. And so that gate is called the gate of salvation, because every sheep that passes through that gate to be slaughtered is slaughtered to bring salvation to the one who brings it. Am I still communicating? And so that is why the sheep gate was very popular. And we're told that on this auspicious occasion of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he decided to pass through the sheep gate, the gate of salvation. We're also told that by this gate, there were 5 porticos or porches, small huts were built there. Why the number 5? And what are these porches meant for? The porches were meant for those who are sick, who have been brought in there. Either they came by themselves or someone carried them there. That's where they stay, to wait for the angel to come and trouble the water. And once the angel troubles the water, the first man to jump in will be healed. But why the number 5? Why did they not build 6 porches? Why not 3? Scholars tell us that they built 5 porches because the number 5 stands for grace. So, that place is seen as the place of grace. Remember I said earlier that that gate, the sheep gate, is the gate of salvation. 5 porches were built there to signify grace, which stands for grace. But it's not done yet. Now, the place was called Bethesda. The word Bethesda in Hebrew means the house of mercy. Bethesda means the house of mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, this man who was sick was brought through the gate of salvation. He was staying in the place of grace. He was living in the house of mercy. Yet, for 38 years, he couldn't get salvation. For 38 years, grace was not available to him. For 38 years, he could not experience mercy. But the Lord will have me say to somebody in the house this morning,
by your hammering of amen, every salvation, every grace, and every mercy that has eluded you, because God is showing up for your sake today, receive answer in the name of Jesus. I say receive answer in the name of Jesus. When God shows up, three things I'm going to submit, and I'll be true. But before I submit, let us look at the life of this man one more time. Here was a man who had been by that gate for 38 years, staying under that porch for 38 years. He was living from hand to mouth for 38 years. He was living at the mercy of others for 38 years. He had no choice to make for 38 years. He was living on charity for 38 years. He was living in pains for 38 years. Various versions of scriptures try to talk about the kind of ailment that was on this man. One, some will say it was invalid. And yet, he had nobody to help him into the pool. He told us in the passage that when he tried to make attempt to jump in, another person beats him to it. They received their miracles and he remained there. The attempt that this man makes, each time the angel comes, were always late attempts. He was always a late comer. Late coming was causing him his miracle until God showed up. I pray for somebody here. May Jehovah show up in your life in the name of Jesus. That situation that looks impossible, that looks complex, that looks helpless, that looks hopeless, because Jehovah will show up in your life, every impossibility will become possible for you in the name of Jesus. If I'm praying for you, you will say a better amen. When God shows up, what happened? Three things. Number one, when God shows up, he singles you out of the Lord. He singles you out of the Lord. If you look carefully at Jesus' public ministry, you will discover that it is not always that Jesus healed the multitude at the same time. Often, he singles out how many persons? Oh, nobody's following me again. How many persons? One! Scripture tells us, look at verse 3. Come on, can you help me? Media, verse 3. Thank you. Verse 3. Verse 3 of John chapter 5. Thank you. John chapter 5. In this lay, how many persons? Great multitude. In their numbers, so many, uncountable. They were all loaded there, waiting for their miracle. But when Jesus came, what did he do? He singled out how many persons? Oh my Father.
How many persons, church?
Just one.
And I see the one person in this house this morning.
Jesus is out to single a man out this morning. He has come because of just one man. I don't know who that man is. I don't know who that woman is. I don't know who that boy is. I don't know who that girl is. But I sense in my spirit that he is in the house this morning because of one man. And I pray for that man. May you not miss your miracle in the name of Jesus. I said, may you not miss your miracle in the name of Jesus. He singled out one man. He called him. Young man, come here.
He stepped out. I see other people telling him that, oh boy, you are lucky. Jesus left there. He could have healed all of the rest. Is it not possible? But because that day was made for that one man, that man's story changed. I speak with the voice of prophecy from this altar of mercy. As you shout amen, may Jehovah change your story in the name of Jesus.
May you have an encounter that will cause a turnaround in your life in the name of Jesus. If I'm praying for you, you will say amen, 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 amen. If the prayer is for you, you will say, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive. It shall be so for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, when God shows up, not only will he single out one person out of the Lord, he breaks protocol for you. Verse 4, give me verse 4. John 5, verse 4. An angel went down at certain time into the pool and stir up the water. Then whoever steps in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Give me the next verse, verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had infirmity for 38 years. Jesus did not only single out this man, he broke protocols to attend to this man. Ask me why. Now, the norm is that for anybody who was living under the portico, under those three porches, for the person to get healing, what does he need to do? Oh, come on, help me preach. What does he need to do? Which means, if you don't enter the water, no miracle. I mean, not be so. But on the day God shows up for the man, did the man enter the water? Oh my God, I speak from this altar of mercy. Because you are in his presence, and because God has shown up because of you, he will break protocol for you in the name of Jesus. He will set aside the norm in the name of Jesus. He will give you your desired answer in the name of Jesus. If I'm praying for you, you will say, I receive, I receive, I receive. And so shall it be for you in the name of Jesus. He broke the protocol. He set aside the norm. The man, Jesus was asking him, do you want to get well? The man said, oh God, I don't get man. I can see Jesus say, this man foolish, you don't understand. I didn't ask you for a man. There was no God, you don't understand. I'll be here for 38 years. I have nobody to help me. The moment I want to make attempt, someone steps on ahead of me. Okay, if you know what I've been going through here, you will not ask me if I want to get well. If I don't want to get well, why did I come here? The man was preaching. And Jesus said, I didn't ask you for preaching. I only asked you a simple question. Ladies and gentlemen, the miracle you desire is in your mouth. If you can say it, you can receive it. Jesus was asking, do you want to get well? All you needed from the man said, yes, sir. And it will be done. Because when God shows up, he set aside protocols. That is why you have heard of people, they say they have fibroid, and fibroid became fine boy. We have heard story of people. They say this ailment is a terminal disease. It's incurable. and they went for tests again and the sickness disappeared. We have heard of people who contracted COVID-19, the same COVID-19 that killed governors, the same COVID-19 that killed senators, the same COVID-19 that killed people that have the money. They went through COVID-19 and COVID-19 became malaria. They treated malaria and they get well. I speak with the voice of prophecy from this altar of mercy this morning. For your sake, may protocols be broken in the name of Jesus. May protocols be broken in the name of Jesus. When men shall say there is a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. When men say it's over, you will say God is just starting with me. When men are saying you can't make it again, you will say I am on the way, because Jesus is going with me on the way. David said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no, because God is with. He prepares a table before in the presence of my. He anoints my head with oil, my cup over. I pray for you from this altar. The miracle that will close the mouth of your enemies as you allow, amen. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Uroboma say, Orokwa mikwebe, Oyomakafu. The one who pours water on the goat is the one to be ashamed. May Jehovah close the mouth of your enemies in the name of Jesus. May Jehovah cause your enemy to eat their word in the name of Jesus. It will take you from where you are to where you ought to be. If I'm talking to you, you will say, nah, maybe this, nah, maybe this, nah, maybe this. I say, God will take you from where you are to where you ought to be. Enter into your robot in the name of Jesus. Enter into your rest in the name of Jesus. Enter into your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Enter into your success in the name of Jesus. Enter into your testimonies in the name of Jesus. Finally, sit down. Sit down. Finally, when God shows up, not only will he single you out of the Lord, not only will he break protocols for you, he will give you uncommon testimony. Somebody say uncommon testimony. I can't hear you. How I say uncommon testimony? If you like, I say I like something like that. Oh, I'm not hearing your voice. Uncommon testimony. Do you just imagine it? Here was a man who had been sitting down for how many years? By now, without doubt, the man has given up. I will stay here until death comes. This thing will not work again. I resign to fate. It is the will of God for me. I have lost hope. Even his families have abandoned him. When they count people, when they come in family, they don't count them again. In name, they don't remove them from record. But that day, somebody did that day. I didn't hear you. Allah, you said that day. And that day is today for somebody. I said that day is today for somebody. That day is today for somebody. God gave him uncommon testimony. If you continue to read the passage up to verse 14, after the miracle happened to this man, he entered into the temple. They were querying him. Today na Sunday. They want to heal somebody for Sunday. How come you were healed? The man said, no, consign me. When he consigned him, he said, I have been sick for 38 years. But today, my level don't change. What I was not able to do for 38 years, I can do it now. I will not take drug again.
I will not live at the mercy of the medical doctor again. I will not live at the mercy of treatment again. I am crossing over. I have entered into the realm of celebration. I have become a reference point. People will see me and they will tell me congratulations. People will see me and they will tell me, oh, you are lucky. Hey, you are free. You are free. You are escaped. Continue to imagine it. How those whom the man had been with these past 38 years by that pool see him going out. He will be waving them. All right, oh, I'm on my way. While you are waiting for the angel to trouble your water, I have gotten my miracle. I speak with a voice of prophecy. Somebody, as you shout amen, receive a common testimony. Receive a common testimony. Receive a common testimony. Where they place a boundary line, say every member of this family, nobody crosses this line, you will break record in the name of Jesus. You don't like prayer. If you like prayer, you will say amen. Because amen is the only thing that stands between you and your miracle. I say, where they place a boundary line, they say nobody crosses this position. I say, you will break record in the name of Jesus. You will break record in the name of Jesus. I say, you are near menopause. You can't have a child again. It's already too late. God, the miracle worker, the creator of your womb, the one who has spare parts to eat, it doesn't matter what the medics may have said. As you shout amen, the miracle of fruitfulness hits you now in the name of Jesus. I said the miracle of fruitfulness hits you now in the name of Jesus. They say, this man, this is the position he will remain until he will die. You are crossing that boundary line in the name of Jesus. There's somebody that is watching me on the mobile phone right now. The Lord will have me say to you, yes, that sickness that has tied you down for a long time, your amen is all that you need to get through. As you shout amen, receive your miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive your miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. The man was standing before Jesus, and yet he did not recognize who he was standing before. He was telling him, I am no man. Whereas Jesus is the man whom he has been waiting for. I don't know the load you have been carrying. I sense in my spirit the power of God is in the house. The choir will help me to sing this song. The great physician now is here. As I'm closing, if you have a burden in your heart, you have a load that has been there. I don't know. You are not coming to meet me. You are coming to meet God, who is out to show up for your sake today. Run to this altar and kneel before this altar. Argue your case with this God. The God who did it for that man after 38 years is here present right now. He is here to give you testimony. He is here to put a new song in your mouth. As the choir sing this song, run to this altar, kneel before him, and begin to pour out your heart. Hand over the case to him. The only thing that stands between you and your miracle is your faith. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Thy great physician is here. Thy sympathizing Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Those of you that are kneeling before this altar, I want to believe that you came out by faith and that you have poured out your heart unto your God, who has decided to show up for your sake. I will not ask you what you are trusting him for. I'm not interested in knowing that burden. I am not interested in knowing that which has been giving you your heart cry, that which has been making you to wet your pillow with tears. But I know that the great physician now is here. I'm going to make 3 pronouncements. All I need from you is your amen and your acting by faith. The Lord says I should announce to somebody who is kneeling on this altar right now, you will not mix your connection in the name of Jesus. I say, you will not miss your connection in the name of Jesus. The Lord says I should announce to somebody, you will not miss your purpose in the name of Jesus. I repeat, you will not miss your purpose in the name of Jesus. Not miss your miracle in the name of Jesus. You will not miss your miracle in the name of Jesus. Guess what? Some people wanted that man to remain in that porch forever. But when God showed up, they were surprised to see him in the family compound that day. As you kneel before this altar, your miracle will close the mouth of your enemies in the name of Jesus. What God is about to do in your life, it will make them to eat their word in the name of Jesus. They will say,
so God did one for him. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Cover you with the blood of Jesus. Where the word of the king is, there is power. You have come to kneel before your father, as it was in the days of Anna, when Anna knelt down in Shiloh and prayed for Samuel. Before Anna left Shiloh, Anna was already pregnant. As you are getting up to leave this altar, you are already pregnant with your miracles in the name of Jesus. Go and return with your testimonies. I said, go and return with your testimony. So shall it be for you. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit, shout amen 7 times. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Get up and go back to your seat. Sweetest note in Seraphim, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest name will ever sung. Jesus blessed Jesus. The Holy Communion will be the last thing we do, and then we step out. Let's rush through the remaining things we need to do right away. First will be the baby dedication, and thereafter the outing service of the Edafiogos, and then we shall go for the Holy Communion. Choir, please give us a song. Brother Okogu, bring the child through the aisle as we dedicate the child.
What a man of God! What a man of God! He